Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you.
Back to the mainland. That's when you go to Hawaii, back to the country.
Well, usually it's to the podcast, Mark, but
welcome
not
back
this
to
time.
The podcast. Yeah.
Because I have been on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
I had a... It's a long trip. I didn't even experience one day. There was Thursday. We left on Wednesday and got there on Friday and like was in a plane for all of Thursday. And on the way home, some people say they have long days. Oh, man, Monday was such a long day.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about it being a long day. For me, Monday was 39 hours long. I had 7 meals.
Oh my
on
goodness.
Monday. Oh. We had it was on our schedule to make your own breakfast, so I made my own breakfast, and then people in the team made a breakfast, so I was a hobbit for a little bit and had a second breakfast.
There you go.
And then they served us the flight was so long, they served us 3 meals on the plane, and then
oh
we were
goodness.
In the San Francisco airport, and I had a bowl of yogurt. And then I got home and ate dinner. I had 7 meals in the 39-hour day. So needless to say, if for some reason I don't make sense today, I'll just blame it on jet lag.
Jet lag. There you go.
But,
I have no excuse, so I don't know.
If you don't make any sense, I don't know what we'll do about that. But it was interesting, and I was surprised to have several conversations when I was over there about podcasts and about... what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that I did was because we were working with university students largely, and there is a church, I think they call it Church of Hong Kong, that is a sort of a Watchman Nee group in Hong Kong. So Watchman Nee was I suppose you could call him a Bible teacher from a couple generations ago. Very influential. I've got a book or maybe 2 books of his on my shelf even. But they tend to be more exclusive, a little higher demand on your commitment to the church, that you're there all the time doing all the things. They were apparently pressuring some of the young people to be baptized and, you know, maybe just like before they were even saved, like come to our church and get baptized and then you're one of us, and then you're in. And so it just was, there was enough pressure there and enough, you know, lack of clarity that they were talking about that church being the One Right Church.
Interesting.
I thought so too, and I thought, ding, ding, ding.
Wow.
I know, I talk about this all the time. But anyway, it was, we did a little more research, and there was a little more softening around the edges, at least in what we found. And their way of saying it was that this church was not the only church, but they are only the church. In other words, they don't want to claim to be anything but the church. And so they're not the only church, but they're only the church. And I don't mean, it seems a little bit of a different way to say it, and I don't know that it helps me. But anyway, all that to say, I've been thinking about this from the other side of the world in a completely different context for a while, and that has been stimulating for me while I've been away. So there you go.
It is, it's eye-opening to me that, you always say on this podcast that this is not only a follower, it's not just a follower thing, that there are these things elsewhere. And I've gone from being in followers and thinking we were the only right ones and then coming out, starting to learn a lot more about places who also think they're the only right ones. So apparently all the way around the world.
I found a new one. There you go. That's what I'm saying. I guess I found a new one. So
yeah. Wow. Well, it just made me think about that, that they are everywhere. How do they get to have that mindset? How do these different groups get the idea that they are the one right church? And I think we've talked about it on here before about the first thing that comes to mind for me is making secondary issues primary. And we've talked about that a lot on here before. And so we kind of have an outline here to help people maybe think about that in a different way. Think about making secondary things primary in a little bit different way.
Well, it is related to that. And a tool that I use a lot is essentially a rubric for what some people call doctrinal triage. In other words, what are the most important things? I mean, if you're doing triage in a medical situation, you're trying to determine which patients are most critical.
Okay.
Airway, breathing, circulation are your like first things. And then you're going to see, are there, you know, broken bones? And then you're going to see, is there something else? You know, and so you're looking for you're ranking them on like how critical or how important it is and which ones do we need to do first.
Okay.
And this kind of doctrinal triage is probably worth talking about. And I'll give the main categories and then we can talk about each one. But the main categories, they're all sort of, they start with a D, so hopefully that'll help people, right? There are doctrines to die for, there are doctrines to divide for, there are doctrines to debate for, and there are doctrines to decide for.
Okay.
So those four categories, and you can tell, you know, one is airway, breathing, circulation, you got to keep the, you know, it's like life and death.
Right.
And then other ones are maybe just need a Band-Aid. Or, you know, need some kind of anti-itch medication or something. Who knows? So, anyway, it'd probably be good to start at the top and just think about, okay, there are, one of the things when you are a believer in Christ, you are giving your life for Christ. I mean, that's really the invitation is to come follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. In other words, it's not, you're expecting that this is of life and death importance.
Yeah.
And some of those doctrines are important enough to give your life for. I mean, if somebody's going to burn you at a stake, what would you not recant?
Right.
Let's say it that way. I mean, and for me, it would have to do with the person of Christ.
Yeah.
That he was who he said he was, that he was 100% God, 100% man, was a perfect mediator between God and man who lived a perfect life, died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures, and now ascended on high. Now, if you said you have to deny Christ and believe something other than Christ, it would be would be the kind of thing I'd say, leave me on the stake, you know, and it would be a die for issue.
Yeah.
I think similarly—
Well, real quick on that one, that a lot of the stories that I've read about the original witnesses of the resurrected Jesus and the ones who were they were told, you know, deny the, and many of them did lose their lives because they wouldn't deny it, and that's also used a lot to help reinforce the account of Jesus, because who would die for something that they didn't really believe was true,
or that they made up, or they knew was a lie, and all that.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because this is one of those tests, isn't it? If you're willing to die for it, is it really true or not?
Yeah.
And I think that Jesus really is. So
another
one that is in that category, I would say, is salvation by grace alone through faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
That I do believe that you are saved by grace as a gift that comes to you when you pledge your allegiance to Jesus or you receive him by faith.
Yeah.
And when you actually believe that that's what God is doing in the person and work of his son, there's no turning back.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is probably at that level.
Yeah, and I think Paul talks about that in his letter to the Galatians, that if you try to add anything to this, that's a problem. You know, let them be accursed if people are coming teaching a different gospel and a different message, a different way of being saved, that you have to do something to earn it. That,
yeah.
You know, adding anything to it is, I would agree. That's a die for.
And so there are some die for things, and there are probably some other die for things, you know, that one of the things that you'll see, especially as we move forward, is that people put different doctrines in these different categories.
Yeah.
Like there are people who will die for the wrong thing.
Right.
There are people who will divide for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And so getting the right doctrine in the right place is probably helpful.
Yeah, and I think of just my experience at Followers, and a thing that would get put into this category literally was faith healing. I mean, we've talked about it on this pod. Young people, well, not only, I'm not talking about denying medical care for your child. That we can talk about that too, but I'm talking about people who believe that they have to lay in bed and suffer and die rather than go get an insulin shot. Like simple things, because they, and it ties into not believing in salvation by grace alone through faith alone. So these connect, but they believe that is earning their salvation by suffering and dying. So
and it is literally then a die for issue.
Then it's a die for.
And
yeah.
That's elevated pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah. So the issue, I guess, would be the not seeking medical care. And again, this is not a blanket statement. There are some people at Followers even who don't hold it that high, who will, when it comes right down to it, go seek medical care. But anyway, that's something that I think has been made a doctrine of the church that has been made
elevated.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the highest category, probably is a die for category. Doctrine's important enough to give your life for.
Yeah.
The next category is probably what we would call divide for doctrines, which are important enough that would cause people or congregations to worship separately.
Yeah.
Things that you would say, I can't listen to that doctrine taught all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't practice church that way.
Yeah.
And that's probably the main thing. I mean, if, for instance, it kind of is mutually exclusive to believe in infant baptism and believer's baptism.
Yeah.
And the ramifications of that for the way you run a church are probably mutually exclusive. And so throughout church history, those two have been, you know, what you believe about baptism has been a divide for issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another might be communion. That was in the Reformation times, especially, that was some of the, what you actually believed was happening at communion ended up being something that was a divide for issue.
Yeah.
So that's related.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the ordinances there.
Yep.
I think probably, there may be something if somebody denies penal substitution or atonement, that might be a reason that they would divide from another group, or why they would be asked not to to teach at a church or something. So there's that. There are probably others that are divide for things.
Now, let me ask you, with divide for, this is doctrine's important enough to worship separately, but we're not talking about making judgments on salvation, or are you? When you say divide for, when you're saying I can't worship with someone, are we drawing lines on salvation? Because that gets closer to die for issues in my mind. So I just want to clarify.
Well, again, now you're asking the question about how do I get the right thing in the right slot.
Exactly.
Because I think that's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a fine tool, but if you get the wrong thing in the wrong spot, it doesn't really help you.
Yeah.
And you know, my first answer to that is not my job.
Sure.
Not my job to decide if you're saved.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
that's a great answer.
And so I think that's really important because,
yeah,
you know, you could put that on there. Mm-hmm. If there's someone who believes that infants are saved by their baptism, I would probably say, I don't think that they're saved.
Right.
And so that just would be that's more a result of the doctrine than it is any particular person.
Right.
But I think there are some important things like that you have to, again, a lot of it is, you know, this is the other theological question I recommend all the time is, in what respect?
Yeah.
In what respect would I, you know, think that somebody wasn't saved if they disagree with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Communion probably wouldn't be one of those.
Sure.
If you refuse it, or if you said, no, I don't want any part of communion and I don't care about Jesus' death and burial or whatever.
Right.
I mean, that'd be different. But again, that's a different respect than just saying,
yeah,
I think you ought to eat the whole loaf instead of just a little cracker or some.
Right.
I mean, there are lots
Or it's got to be wine, not grape juice.
Yeah. See, the thing is that a lot of the division has been about the meaning of communion.
Yep.
Is it the real presence of the Lord? Is it, do the elements become the actual body of Christ or whatever you might believe about it? The reality is, and again, this is in what respect question that I would, think about, is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You still took communion, you still were trusting the Lord, and it's, you know, you swallow and it's over, I mean, basically.
Right, right.
And it's, if it's a blessing to you and it, you know, it reinforces your union with the church, then you're pretty close. You're close enough.
Yeah.
But there are some who would elevate it higher than that, probably with regard to a salvific importance. So anyway, but those are things that you're right, because that does it go here? Does it go in the die for question?
Right.
You know, one of the things we talked about was what you believe about the atonement.
Yeah.
If you believe that Christ substituted as in your place and took your penalty, and so you believe in penal substitutionary atonement, that puts you in one place. If you deny penal substitutionary atonement, that might mean that you want to divide from the people who believe it. So I don't think those things are equal. I don't think it's, you know, necessarily okay, but that's probably that, you know, depending on how strongly you hold it or whatever you deny, might be a die for issue.
Yeah.
Or whatever you might expect me to deny. That would be the other thing. If I have to, in order to agree with you, I have to deny it.
Right.
I might rather die for it than divide for it even. So
sure. Sure.
So again, these are getting in the right thing in the right place is the hard part about this rubric.
It is, and I think I'm trying to sort it out in my own head because my experience is we divide for these things and division almost feels like dying for. Like because we're talking about dividing from your family from everything
it's felt like,
that you've known. Yeah. It's felt like that a little bit. So a couple of the things that I think we would have been divide for issues maybe at followers. It's the called man, the way that a man is called to preach. You can't, it's absolutely out of the question for someone to go get a seminary education to become a preacher at followers. There's just no way.
You would separate from somebody who did. So you'd separate from somebody who said they want to preach, but you didn't know they were called or something. So
yeah, they'd have to divide.
That's a divide for issue.
Baptism is one of those things that has evolved over the years because without it, we've talked about that. You start making up. I think baptism is sliding down. I think it used to be a die for issue. I think it's and then became a divide for, and then my whole life it was a debate for, and.
Because it's derived from the called man issue.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no one to baptize you. So then you had to debate and decide what kind of, you know, what does it mean to us if we can't get baptized in the way that we were told?
Right. right? And then another one that just it's not quite as much of a maybe as religious, but we didn't go to college. Nobody goes to college. You can go to a trade school, but you don't go to college. So if you wanted to go to college, you would pretty much have to leave to go do that. You just wouldn't be accepted there. So unless that's changed in the last 6 years since I've been there, that one was all those things are kind of divide for. And with the One Right Church model, I'm just thinking about this. You're the one causing the division by, like, if I wanted to go to college, they would say I caused the division. If, you know, that's the way it goes. It's the group, we do what we do, and if you don't want to do it our way, then you're causing
the division. Well, you'd have to divide from them.
Exactly.
You would have to make that choice. And,
yep.
And that's true.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways you know if it's a divide for issue.
Yeah. Exactly. The next one's debate for.
Yeah, debate for.
Yeah.
These are doctrines that do not necessarily require you to worship separately, but affect your view of the Bible and church and the way that the church runs.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have an effect, but you can handle it internally.
Yeah.
You know, I know churches that have different beliefs about church membership.
Yeah.
They are all teaching, you know, the right doctrines of the person of Christ and salvation by grace alone, but some of them have different requirements for membership or different things members can do or no membership at all, and they could still be Orthodox churches, places to worship.
Yeah.
That would be one. For some, the sign gifts might be...
And let's clarify what those are, like the sign gifts.
Namely, tongues and prophecy and healing and those sorts of things. Did they cease or are they still in effect?
Right.
That's a debate for question. Mm-hmm. There are denominations that have divided over those issues.
Yeah.
And churches that have divided over them. So it might be a divide for issue in some cases, but that, for the most part, people have to, first of all, at least decide, what do I believe about that?
Yeah.
And I think the role or the method of preaching, is it expositional? You're teaching from the Bible about the, you know, what the Bible teaches, drawing out the message of the Bible, or are you, you know, speaking to felt needs and just using the Bible in your talk?
Right.
You gotta decide what you're doing there and what kind of church are you willing to fellowship with. I think the nature of the involvement of the church in politics would be another one.
Yeah.
That you can debate for. There are some who would divide over that, and a lot of that division took place during COVID.
Yeah.
So that got elevated, and you know that's the thing. It got elevated for a period of time. Might be moving between these categories a little bit, but it was a divide for issue during COVID, and that was like the only thing. We had lots of people divide.
Sure.
From our church over that issue.
Yeah.
And that's the only issue.
Yeah.
Another one, church polity, like how do you organize the church with elders or deacons or pastors or, you know, some of it is what role can women play in the leadership of the church, and those sorts of things are debate fors. Sometimes those two get popped up to the divide for category as well. But those are just some examples. And we're giving examples, hoping that people will be able to think this through on their own.
Yeah.
How important is this to me? How big an issue am I going to make of this before they ruin a friendship or before they leave their family members or before they get burned at the stake, I suppose.
Right.
So those are some of the, that's kind of why I'm offering some of these. And I hope that this is helpful. And really, you have to kind of think, why would I make something that important?
Right.
In, you know, in what respect is it important?
Right. Right. And then, you know, one that comes to mind for me from followers, and it's again kind of on a sliding scale in my mind, but I'd probably put it here, greeting with a holy kiss. I'd probably put in the debate for, because there were people when I was young who didn't believe that we should be greeting one another at church until we'd been baptized, because that was kind of the tradition before. But then baptism was gone, So now we have, I mean, there more than...
Then you have to debate for it.
You've got to
debate. What are we going to do?
Yeah, and there were people, but they didn't divide over it. And then I think it's just kind of settled into this is just what we do. They're just stuck. Mm. Like there are more people out there now who are not baptized than who are.
Right.
So, and then another one debate for is probably whether women should work outside the home at Followers. That's something that again has kind of changed over the years, but.
And it may be a debate for a thing in other places
sure,
too.
Sure.
And, that kind of schooling that, you know, is it home? Do you do homeschooling, public schooling, private schooling?
Right.
Those kind of things are in this place, other places as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that probably has maybe even slid into a decide for now. You do it your way, I'll do it mine. And that's great. But I do want the greeting with a holy kiss. I did have people tell me when I was leaving, friends of mine who I thought were like side by side with us on this, you know, all the same thoughts. But they came back saying, we know that you're not going to a good church because you don't greet with a holy kiss. So I guess that becomes a divide for issue then at that, like it gets elevated up.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it would.
So,
it would, yeah.
Yeah. But the last one here is a decide for. And what does that mean? You do it your way.
You have to make up your mind and, you know, they don't affect your fellowship and you do have to make up your mind. One of the things, I leave it down here, musical styles.
Yeah.
Hymns or different, more modern music and that kind of thing. That actually has been elevated to a debate for. It's been elevated to a divide for by some.
Yeah.
So that's where I put it. How often you have communion is just, you know, church leaders have to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't enough in the Bible to make it a matter of, I mean, I still remember being stunned to realize that once a year they would celebrate the Lord's Supper in some early New England churches.
Yeah.
And in order to prep, that gave them, you know, weeks and weeks to prep for it spiritually, and people would come to faith in anticipation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, is that the wrong way to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I would do it more often than that, but
yeah.
But the spiritual effect of it was quite impressive in that regard. Mm. So, yeah, I think you just have to decide for that. And I'm sure there are other things. These aren't the most important. That's why it's a little harder to like, oh, this absolutely is this.
Yeah. And we do it once a month here typically at this church. But I've got friends who do it every week. They go to a church that does it every week, and they love that they do it every week.
Right.
They love that reminder. So, yeah, I mean, Jesus says, as often as you do this, do this. He doesn't say how often to do it. So, yeah, that's great. And then I couldn't really think of any Followers that were just decide for. There's just always such a pressure to conform and do what others are doing. There isn't an attitude of you do it the way you think you should do it, and I'll do it the way I'll think I should do it, and it'll be fine. There is... This is what the leaders set up. This is what the ministry set up.
Years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago now. And we've got to stick to it. And then there's all these interpretations of what it was. And so not everybody's doing the same thing, but they're also judging each other for not doing it.
They don't have the freedom.
Yeah.
They don't have the freedom to do it their own way a lot of times.
I mean, I remember literally saying to people a lot of times, I don't ever want to be the first to do anything. I don't want to do something that other followers haven't already done. Like I had that fear of, it didn't matter what it was. If it was buying a certain brand of car or if it was playing a certain golf course, if nobody else has done it, I don't want to be the first one to do it. And that was the kind of just pressure that I felt like the eyes were watching all the time. And so I don't know where it came from exactly, but I know it was there.
And okay.
So I guess the reason for doing this episode is to give people a way to think about what is important and encourage people to think about the things that are the most important and also not elevate the things that aren't, I guess, would be what I would say.
If that would happen as a result of this, that would be a remarkable outcome. But we all struggle with that. I mean, it's a human struggle to decide that. It's a, you know, I have to do some of that in my own marriage. You know, is it a decide for thing, what goes in the garage, or is it a debate for thing, or, you know, how?
I hope it's not a divide for thing.
there could be some things that, you know, we don't have to put in the garage that would be pretty serious. So there are a few things like that. But, you know, you have to make those decisions all the time, and you just basically triage your decision-making, and hopefully this is a helpful you know, rubric for doing that for people.
Yeah, that's great. Well, one of the hymns that we've done on here many times is called "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." And then verse 3 says, "Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace." And I think that's what came to my mind when we were talking about this, is we can get so wrapped up in some of these other things and think that getting them right is where we're going to find that joy and peace, and you're not. That's only going to be found
in simply trusting.
Trusting.
I love
Jesus.
The simply trusting. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Think about is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You still took communion, you still were trusting the Lord, and it's, you know, you swallow and it's over. I mean, basically.
Right.
And it's, if it's a blessing to you and it, you know, it reinforces your union with the church, then you're pretty close. You're close enough.
Yeah.
But there are some who would elevate it higher than that, probably with regard to a salvific importance. So anyway, but those are things that you're right, because that does it go here? Does it go in the die for question?
Right.
You know, one of the things we talked about was what you believe about the atonement.
Yeah.
If you believe that Christ substituted as in your place and took your penalty, and so you believe in penal substitutionary atonement, that puts you in one place. If you deny penal substitutionary atonement, that might mean that you want to divide from the people who believe it. So I don't think those things are equal. I don't think it's, you know, necessarily okay, but that's probably, that, you know, depending on how strongly you hold it or whatever you deny, might be a die for issue.
Yeah.
Or whatever you might expect me to deny. That would be the other thing. If I have to, in order to agree with you, I have to deny it.
Right.
I might rather die for it than divide for it even. So
Sure.
So again, these are getting in the right thing in the right place is the hard part about this rubric.
It is, and I think I'm trying to sort it out in my own head, because my experience is we divide for these things, and division almost feels like dying for. Like, because we're talking about dividing from your family from, right, you know, everything
it's felt like
that you've known. Yeah. It's felt like that a little bit. So a couple of the things that I think we would have been divide for issues maybe at followers, it's the called man, the way that a man is called to preach. You can't. It's absolutely out of the question for someone to go get a seminary education to become a preacher at Followers. There's just no way.
You would separate from somebody who did. So you'd separate from somebody
Yeah.
Who said they want to preach, but you didn't know they were called or something. So
yeah, they'd have to divide.
That's, right. That's a divide for issue.
Baptism is one of those things that has evolved over the years, because without it, we've talked about that. You start making up. I think baptism is sliding down. I think it used to be a die for issue. I think it's and then became a divide for, and then my whole life it was a debate for, and
because it's derived from the called man issue.
Exactly.
There's no one to baptize you, so then you had to debate and decide what kind of, you know, what does it mean to us if we can't get baptized in the way that we were told?
Right. And then another one that just it's not quite as much of a maybe as religious, but we didn't go to college. Nobody goes to college. You can go to a trade school, but you don't go to college. So if you wanted to go to college, you would pretty much have to leave to go do that. You just wouldn't be accepted there. So unless that's changed in the last 6 years since I've been there, that one was, all those things are kind of divide for, and with the one right church model, I'm just thinking about this. You're the one causing the division by, like, if I wanted to go to college, they would say I caused the division. If, you know, that's the way it goes. It's the group. We do what we do, and if you don't want to do it our way, then you're causing.
Well,
the
you'd
division.
Have to divide from them.
Exactly.
You would have to
you
make
would have
that,
to do that
choice.
And, yep.
And that's true.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways you know if it's a divide for issue.
Yeah, exactly. So the next one's debate for.
Yeah, debate for.
Yeah.
These are doctrines that do not necessarily require you to worship separately, but affect your view of the Bible and church and the way that the church runs.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have an effect, but you can handle it internally.
Yeah.
You know, I know churches that have different beliefs about church membership.
Yeah.
They are all teaching, you know, the right doctrines of the person of Christ and salvation by grace alone, but some of them have different requirements for membership or different things members can do or no membership at all, and they could still be Orthodox churches, places to worship.
Yeah.
That would be one. For some, the sign gifts might be...
And let's... clarify what those are, like the sign gifts.
Namely, tongues and prophecy and healing and those sorts of things. Did they cease or are they still in effect?
Right.
That's a debate for question. Mm-hmm. There are denominations that have divided over those issues.
Yeah.
And churches that have divided over them. So it might be a divide for issue in some cases, but that, for the most part, people have to, first of all, at least decide, what do I believe about that?
Yeah.
And I think the role or the method of preaching, is it expositional? You're teaching from the Bible about the, you know, what the Bible teaches, drawing out the message of the Bible, or are you, you know, speaking to felt needs and just using the Bible in your talk?
Right.
You have to decide what you're doing there and what kind of church are you willing to fellowship with? I think... The nature of the involvement of the church in politics would be another one.
Yeah.
That you can debate for. There are some who would divide over that. And a lot of that division took place during COVID.
Yeah.
So that got elevated. And, you know, that's the thing. It got elevated for a period of time. Might be moving between these categories a little bit, but it was a divide for issue during COVID. Yeah. And that was like the only thing. We had lots of people divide from our church over that issue.
Yeah.
And that's the only issue.
Yeah.
Another one, church polity, like how do you organize the church with elders or deacons or pastors or, you know, some of it is what role can women play in the leadership of the church, and those sorts of things are debate fors. Sometimes those two get popped up to the divide for.
Yeah.
Category as well, but those are just some examples, and we're giving examples, hoping that people will be able to think this through on their own.
Yeah,
how important is this to me? How big an issue am I going to make of this before they ruin a friendship, or before they leave their family members, or before they get burned at the stake, I suppose.
Right.
So those are some of the, that's kind of why I'm offering some of these. And I hope that this is helpful. And really, you have to kind of think, why would I make something that important?
Right.
In, you know, in what respect is it important?
Right. But, right. And then, you know, one that comes to mind for me from followers, and it's again kind of on a sliding scale in my mind, but I'd probably put it here, greeting with a holy kiss, I'd probably put in the debate for, because there were people when I was young who didn't believe that we should be greeting one another at church until we'd been baptized, because that was kind of the tradition before. But then baptism was gone, so now we have, I mean, there more than...
Then you have to debate for it.
You've got to
what
debate.
Are we going to do?
Yeah, and there were people, but they didn't divide over it. And then I think it's just kind of settled into this is just what we do. They're just stuck. Mm. Like there are more people out there now who are not baptized than who are.
Right.
So, and then another one debate for is probably whether women should work outside the home at Followers. That was that's something that again has kind of changed over the years, but
and it may be a debate for thing in other places
sure,
too.
Sure.
And that kind of schooling that, you know, is it home, do you do homeschooling, public schooling, private schooling?
Right.
Those kind of things are in this place, other places as well.
Yep. Yeah. And that probably has maybe even slid into a decide for now. Just you do it your way, I'll do it mine, and that's great. But I do want the greeting with a holy kiss. I did have people tell me when I was leaving, friends of mine who I thought were like side by side with us on this, you know, all the same thoughts. But they came back saying, we know that you're not going to a good church because you don't greet with a holy kiss. So I guess that becomes a divide for issue then at that, like it gets elevated up.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it would.
So,
it would, yeah.
Yeah. But the last one here is a decide for. And what does that mean? You do it your way.
You have to make up your mind and
yep.
you know, they don't affect your fellowship and you do have to make up your mind. You know, one of the things, I leave it down here, musical styles.
Yeah.
Hymns are different, more... Mm-hmm. Modern music and that kind of thing, that actually has been elevated to a debate for. It's been elevated to a divide for by some.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there, that's where I put it. How often you have communion is just, you know, church leaders have to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't enough in the Bible to make
right.
it a matter of, I mean, I still remember being stunned to realize that once a year, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper in some early New England churches.
Yeah.
And in order to prep, that gave them, you know, weeks and weeks to prep for it spiritually, and people would come to faith in anticipation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, is that the wrong way to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I would do it more often than that, but
yeah.
But the spiritual effect of it was quite impressive in that regard. So. Yeah, I think you just have to decide for that, and I'm sure there are other things. These aren't the most important. That's why
right.
it's a little harder to like, oh, this absolutely is this.
Yeah, and we do it once a month here typically at this church, but I've got friends who do it every week. They go to a church that does it every week, and they love that they do it every week.
Right.
They love that reminder. So, yeah, I mean, Jesus says, as often as you do this, do that. He doesn't say how often to do it. So, yeah, that's great. And then I couldn't really think of any followers that were just decide for. There's just always such a pressure to conform and do what others are doing. There isn't an attitude of you do it the way you think you should do it, and I'll do it the way I'll think I should do it, and it'll be fine. This is what the leaders set up. This is what the ministry set up
years ago. So,
yeah, a long time ago now, and we've got to stick to it. And then there's all these interpretations of what it was, and so not everybody's doing the same thing, but they're also judging each other for not doing it.
They don't have the freedom.
Yeah.
They don't have the freedom to do it their own way a lot of times.
I mean, I remember literally saying to people a lot of times, I don't ever want to be the first to do anything. I don't want to do something that other followers haven't already done. Like, I had that fear of, and I mean, it didn't matter what it was. If it was buying a certain brand of car, or if it was playing a certain golf course, if nobody else has done it, I don't want to be the first one to do it. And that was the kind of just pressure that I felt like, like the eyes were watching all the time. And so I don't know where it came from exactly, but I know it was there.
And okay.
So I guess the reason for doing this episode is give people a way to think about what is important, and encourage people to think about the things that are the most important and also not elevate the things that aren't, I guess, would be what I would say.
If that would happen as a result of this, that would be a remarkable outcome. But we all struggle with that. I mean, it's a human struggle to decide that. It's, you know, I have to do some of that in my own marriage. You know, is it a decide for thing, what goes in the garage, or is it a debate for thing, or... You know, how
I hope it's not a divide for thing.
there could be some things that, you know, we don't have to put in the garage that would be pretty serious. So there are a few things like that. But you have to make those decisions all the time, and you just basically triage your decision making. And hopefully this is a helpful rubric for doing that for people.
Yeah, that's great. Well, one of the hymns that we've done on here many times is called "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." And then verse 3 says, "Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace." And I think that's what came to my mind when we were talking about this, is we can get so wrapped up in some of these other things and think that getting them right is where we're going to find that joy and peace, and you're not. That's only going to be found
in simply trusting.
In simply trusting.
I love
Jesus.
The simply trusting. It was really good.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Scott.
Thank you.